Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
Welcome to Podcast 2187. We're back. This is the first episode of 2018, and we have Mark this time. Hi, Mark.
Hey.
It was worth everything we had to go through to get you on, but you were able to come on.
Was it worth 50 minutes of pure hell?
Yes.
I think so, of pure hell.
Was it worth it to you?
No, maybe. I don't know. Like I said, I almost threw the phone a couple times. I was like, I don't get it. These guys are supposed to be geniuses. I'm old. I don't even hear. Andrea and Jared aren't saying anything. Tim's getting back to me every 5 minutes. What is going on? I'm done with podcasting. Screw this. Let them do it on their own. I don't even think they give a crap. Oh.
Oh, man. We were just so mad at Skype the whole time and not understanding what was happening. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
It was angsty moment of age to where I was just like, I just can't get it. I don't understand this technology. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because that's why I was taking so long, because I'm trying to go through, because Skype just updated for me too. So I'm trying to figure out how to do everything on my end. And then, in addition to that, try to figure out what's going on with your end. So it was interesting.
Here's what you were. I had an issue with an online order the other day, and so this is before Christmas actually. So I'm doing the whole chat thing, and so the lady's like, "Give me." I'm assuming it's a lady for some reason, but I think she did say her name. Give me a moment. I'll be right back to you. I said, "Okay, I'll wait." So like. 5 minutes goes on, 5-6 minutes goes on.
Uh-huh.
And then she comes back with an answer. And I was like, okay, cool. So I start typing, and like right away, within 30 seconds, are you still there? I'm like, yes, I'm still here. Just give me a moment. So I type it. And so she goes, okay, let me go research that. I give her time, and she comes back, you know, after 4 minutes. And so I start typing again, are you still there? It's like, you know, look, I gave you total 10 minutes so far of respect. You don't even let me type before you ask if I'm still there. Because I'd have to erase everything and then say, yes, I'm still here. Give me a moment. And I felt like that with you guys, and it hurt.
Okay,
no one was there.
Except it was 40 minutes and not 4 minutes.
No, but this it was actually a long chat. it ended. Look, have you ever had a company before who you ordered $80 worth of items, and before it was all said and done, they took $320 out of your bank account because they like don't know what they're doing? They did pending charges.
No, I have had a situation like that a couple times where there's some sort of error and it like charged way more than it should have, and no, it's extremely frustrating for sure. Like,
it's a holding charge. I don't see it on my end, but I guarantee it'll come off. You know what? You're probably right. But in the meantime, in 4 days, you guys are holding on to all this extra money of mine. You know. I know. It must be frustrating, but it'll go off. It'll go off in a few days.
No, and I used to. That was my worst job ever. I worked for a sign company, for a franchise, for the nicest guy I've ever known, like with a lifelong friend who passed away a few years ago. And I like his kids were some of the first people I nannied for. Like he's a wonderful dude, but the guy he hired as this general manager at, I think it both, he bought two franchises of sign shops. Cause he'd done all this research. He's like, sign shops always have business. Cause when the economy's great, people have signs for sales and for opening new businesses. And when the economy's down, they have signs for going out of business sales and liquidation. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. He's like, it's recession proof. But I ended up working there, and my job became to call people preemptively sometimes or answer the phone and deal with people who the general manager was scamming, was just totally scamming. There was stuff that there was no invoices for. He was taking money under the table. He was embezzling from the company, tens of thousands of dollars and every month. And the guy was a total scumbag, and I figured it out. And the guy who I was working for was so good-hearted. Like, it's like he was super book smart, but so sweet and such like a simply sweet person that he couldn't even fathom somebody trying to scam money. It's like, no, It's just, I don't understand sales. It's like, no, dude, you're like so smart. Like, you do understand sales. You just don't, you can't conceive that this dude's a scumbag. And it like, it hurt to call people on the phone or to answer the phone and like just have to say that stuff. And it, like, I know that that's an awful job, but I also understand, like, I've been on the other side, so I understand how frustrating it is, because there's nothing you can do when you're on that, when you're on that end. So you do sometimes empathize with people, or I imagine if you do it for too long, I only did it for 3 months, but if you do it for too long, like, you just got to like die inside a little bit to like deal with it. Cause you're just crushing people or telling people that you, there's nothing you can do. And you, when you come, when a company is taking their money, and like, there's one dude who's so mad, like he never really stopped sounding mad, but his words, I could tell he understood that, like, I felt badly. Like, he's like, I know you're not doing this, but it doesn't make it any easier. he was still so frustrated.
He was slowly curling into a ball and putting himself in a corner and realizing he was never getting his money.
Yeah, it's probably like the sublimation of anger to just like resigning yourself to like
the stages of grief,
despair.
Or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, you're no longer angry about it. You're just in despair.
That kind of feels like a lot of Star Wars fandom right now.
Just in general.
Dang, call out.
The people
starting early.
Sorry, the people that were really angry about, we'll just start with Last Jedi. And now they're kind of quieting down and they're just, you know. Like, did you see that what was it? The protest of people who Jared, you didn't probably.
Wait,
you've been
Wait. Not the Star Wars one, but I saw the 12 people outside of Warner Brothers. That one?
And that they demanded the Zack Snyder cut.
Yeah.
Wait, the account
of it I read, it was in Burbank. It was not far from where I was. I think I was even in Hollywood that day, so I wasn't far from it. But outside of the Warner Brothers headquarters, the story I read said more than a dozen, but less than 15 people. Yeah. And it's because in the picture, there's 13 and someone's taking the picture. So it's like, that means there's 14 people there. But I thought that was so great.
That's a small gathering.
And you know, and I think for the most part, the vocal people that are upset with The Last Jedi are probably just very vocal. I mean, I've got a good friend who is or a good coworker who is just very, very angry at it. And I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but he's very angry at it. So it's because, you know, he loves Luke Skywalker, and to him, this is not how he expected Luke's life to go after the end of Return of the Jedi. And, you know, I bet you a lot of our lives don't go the way that we wanted it to when we graduated high school. You know, that's probably the biggest thing at a certain point in your life. You're like, woo! And then sometimes just bottoms out.
Yeah, I get it, because it is a space fantasy. You know, people want that happy ending that you sort of get implied at the end of Jedi when they're all like having the big group hug facing the camera. You know, like they're all there at the Ewok party and it's like, hey, we did it. You know, like you don't want to think like, and then he just, like everybody else, you know, all his dreams fell apart and he just kind of is a mediocre at what he does guy. You know, it was sad. Like nobody wants Luke to be an average guy, but I thought it was satisfying that he, you know, comes through in the end. But for me, I was happy with it, even though it wasn't what I expected or what I would have envisioned. But I do get where that feeling comes from. I'm just surprised. I didn't get the feeling when we walked out of there that there'd be so many people who like, whose really vocal, venomous reaction was like to threaten to quit or to quit. Like I didn't anticipate that many people having that response.
Yeah, because easily we saw, I didn't see anyone who had been to a premiere crap on it at all. Everyone was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And then I saw it, and let me first of all say that, my God, going in spoiler-free, or as spoiler-free as possible, is the only way to go. In my opinion, Tim, sorry. I knew so little and was just, oh, wow. Everything.
Yeah, so like if I'd known especially the Leia Akbar thing, like that was such an emotional few seconds sitting there for that moment with Leia sitting next to you, man. Like that bit where you know, she gets sucked out. I'm like, oh my God, she died. Like she really died. And then she didn't, you know, then she starts flying and she does the freaking Donner Superman fly. And it's like, and I was like, that was so amazing. If we'd known that coming in, you know, like, and I remember leaning over to you and being, or you leaning over and being like, he's going to be fine. I thought Finn might die. I never, like, if I'd known everything, so many moments of like genuine suspense, because we don't know how this saga is going to end, you know, like, cause it's not the prequels.
Well, yeah. Especially for me, it was like, I didn't know anything. So at one point I was just so into it that I didn't even pay attention to what was going on in the movie. Because I leaned over to Jared and I was like, wait a second. I see now Admiral Holdo is sitting in what looks like Admiral Akbar's chair. And I'm like, Admiral Holdo? It's not Vice Admiral. I don't see Akbar died. Jared, did Akbar die?
And that was like 45 minutes after they said Admiral and all the rebel generals died. And I was like, oh my God. But it was so much going on. That's because, you know, Leia was comatose because she just force flew through space, like and Poe, you know, did all this amazing, you know, X-wing stuff. That was some of the coolest space fighting I've ever seen. And Paige had this amazing, like, 2-second emotional thing where she shouts a dude's name once, and you see all this acting in her face, and you go through this arc with her. Like, so much crap's happening right around the second that they just say, like, Akbar and a bunch of nameless dudes are dead, and they only said that. So that anyone would be able to say, like, oh, that's why Holdo went from Vice Admiral to Admiral. That's why she's taking the place. Like, but, yeah, no, like, I get it. Like, I had a similar deal, only I never had, like, a logical connection. It was just total weirdness until the second time I saw it. But the one time I had to go out because I had to cough was when Luke fed on the elk. Yeah.
Oh.
That was the one thing I missed.
Is that the first thing I've said during this
podcast? Yeah, I think it is. That's amazing. It's just hello.
Yahoo! I was going to say.
And now it's edited twice. Tim's writing down the times.
I was going to say, don't you guys like some Akbar fish fly?
Oh.
It was so sad. But see, you know, we're talking about like you know, we're talking about not being spoiled. So here's what I expected to happen, honestly, is that you know, when Jared's talking about he thought Finn was going to die, I knew. I was like, I leaned over to him and said, I know what's going to happen. And I didn't, because for me, Luke raised his ship out of the water. He's now flying to Crait. He, above all else, knows how to drop a proton, photon bomb in a small hole, and he's going to blow that thing up before Finn gets there. And I was like, that ship, they showed it, he's flying in, he's going to fight. And it was like, wait, okay, that didn't happen.
No, because it was a little bit of a Chekhov's X-Wing situation that they didn't actually follow through on. Because well, my dad
was the X-Wing wing.
But my dad, when he saw the X-Wing down there, you know, who was a guy who barely remembers anything past A New Hope. Like, he remembers that vividly, but everything else is just kind of like, oh, I took the kids to see those. But, like, he was like, oh, what? Like, he's like, there's an X-Wing. Like, he saw that and was like, that's coming back. Like, he thought... I think the same thing as Mark, that he was going to end up using it.
But, yeah, and we didn't get it. And so in a way, it's like there's so many things, there's so many reversals of expectations, so many things that it's definitely not J.J. Abrams' Force Awakens, even though, God, I've watched Force Awakens a lot more lately, and I really, really love that movie. But yeah. It's not what I expected, and I'm glad it wasn't. You know, it's nice to be surprised, and you start. I haven't thought this much about a Star Wars movie in a long time.
It has layers, man.
It does.
It really
it's
does.
It's an onion.
To bring it back to the bleeping moment when I saw it with my nephew. I saw my nephew and my brother, who's not really into nerdy stuff, and he grew up on all the same stuff that my oldest brother and I did. He's the middle brother, and he's a jazz musician, and he like he sees comic book movies with us when it's just us hanging out at my oldest brother's house or whatnot. Like there was a time when they were hanging out for the first time in a while when I was here, and they were texting me saying they wished I was there because they watched X-Men Apocalypse, and they were like, that's the kind of stuff, you know, that they watched together or that we watched together. And it's the only time he enjoys that stuff anymore. He didn't want to see it. He'd heard bad things about it from his friends. And I'm like, they're just being like, I don't want to be down on Portland, but they're the guys, they're the reason why Portlandia is a thing in a bad way. Like, they're the guys who, like, I only, you know, go to burlesque where everything is totally authentically like it is in the 20s, and I use an ice box and I have mustache wax. And it's
I got a better one for you. I can't pump my own gas because I might die.
Well, to be fair, there it's illegal to pump your own gas, and so that you can give jobs to transients is the idea, so there'll be less homeless people.
Yeah, well, what happened now? They got rid of that rule?
I don't know. Did they? If they did, it was just this most recent election. Because
there's people who are like, I'm gonna get fumes. I don't know how to pump my own gas. I'm gonna get fumes and die. You know, this is toxic for my health. And it's like, you son of a bitch.
And that means that you've been pumping your gas. And you've been so cool with all these other people, like all these like 60-year-old retiree dudes, like out there pumping your gas. Like, go screw yourself, man. Like, oh, that's really frustrating. It's such a weird mixture.
Jared, it's great. Some person's like, I'm going to go to the gas station and I'm going to honk my horn and I will not leave until someone pumps my gas.
Holy crap. That's amazing. I guess they changed it. Because, yeah, it was. And that's just them being used to it. Oh my God, they're so stupid. These are people, they act like when it snows, like it's free, like when there are flurries, that it's like a freaking blizzard, because it only really, really snows once every 4 or 5 years. So, I mean, I get that they're not used to it when it gets that way, but every winter it snows a little bit and everyone's like, oh crap, we gotta shut down the city. we don't know what we're doing. And like the school takes off like 5 days, and like it's amazing. Like, but no, it's an interesting place. And it used to be like even the really wacky people I liked because at least they were whimsical or whatever. But now it's like this mixture of pretentious and whimsical to such a degree that it's just weird. Like they priced themselves out of anyone being able to live there. Like they're so well liked. Like they opened up all these condos and like tore down all these old apartments and built all these condos that no one can afford. So there's like luxury condos popping up all over Portland all the time that are just empty. Like there's like 500 apartments and like 12 of them are occupied. It's just like, yeah. And everyone's just moving to the suburbs and then coming in. So there's just literally, it's not it's just displacing people out into the suburbs. It's great for all these suburbs economies. It's really bizarre. But anyway, I don't know that he loved it. I don't think he disliked it as much as some of his friends did, because he wasn't really down on it after we watched it. But going into it, I was like, just keep an open mind. Like, it's not like the best movie in the world, but it's a good Star Wars movie. And it's fun. Like, I don't think it's like really bad. And I think that people's problems with it are more expectation related than anything, or they just didn't like it, which is fine. But I don't think it's like objectively a bad movie by any means. And we went to see it with our 9-year-old nephew, who's kind of immature for his age. He's emotionally, I'd say, a little behind.
Emotionally unstable. Is that where you're going?
He's hyperactive for sure, but he's emotionally, I'd say, like just a little younger than most 9-year-olds or than a lot of 9-year-olds. And you know, he's still into like stuff that 7-year-olds are into, and it's. I was probably sort of similar.
Yeah, Helly.
But me, I'm 35.
Yeah, I'm 40 something, and you and I are really geek out over Star Wars. So who are we to judge?
Oh, no, I mean, we both love Voltron. So yeah, no, I'm not
right.
And I got no problem with him. I'm still probably more into the things the 7-year-olds are into than I should be. But he leans over to me. I'm just trying to give you the context of his emotional immaturity, because he leans over to me right after Luke does the milking scene, which I knew what it was at this point that I had missed. I'd figured it out, because that first night of the podcast with everybody that we saw it with, Mark, I was like, what the hell is everyone talking about? Like I was like, I have gone crazy. There's no way I missed this scene they're talking about. They must have all coordinated this. Like, because Luke looks at her so weird, and then
And then the creature looks at her like, what the hell's going on? Or like, get a load of this. Whatever.
The creature's like, can you give us some privacy, please?
Yeah. The creature looking at her. Like, then he cuts to Daisy and she raises an eyebrow. Yeah, Daisy was thinking that. Like, what? Like, I don't understand. Like, cow's into it. Like, that space cow's into it. But my nephew leans over right after this happens and I'm processing it for the first time and like trying to kind of stifle a laugh, but like thinking like, okay, this is what it was, what everybody was talking about. And he leans over and goes, did you notice that alien had six penises? And I said, oh my God. And I was like, oh, dude. I was like, no, dude. I was like, dude, those are a cow's teeth.
For you looking at it.
And then like a few more minutes go by and he leans over and like, what's that thing you were telling me about? What's that called again? I'm trying to remember what a teat was. I was explaining it was like a cow's udder. And I'm like, no, it's just like space milk. Don't worry about it, man. It was so hard because I just wanted to laugh so much more. And I'm trying to say it quiet.
Jerking an animal.
No, but like he has there's no sexualization of it at all. It's just like.
That's so cute.
It's just like he's my
Andrea.
What cows are?
It's so innocent. He's like, oh,
it is, but at the same time, just like,
doesn't even know what it is yet.
Well, Andrea knows, and she thinks it's cute.
Oh. So, I thought it was cute that his nephew didn't know what it was.
I feel like this is the time when I need to like redirect, but I have no idea what to say to possibly redirect this.
It was not that was not my fault. That was Mark.
Speaking of spin-off.
Okay, here. Let me jump into one question that was.
Stop trying to sexualize me, just because I'm the only girl on this podcast.
Oh, God, time's up, right?
Of all
time's
how up. Problematic you are on Twitter, and everyone's gonna
hashtag
be like,
hashtag not you too. Leave me alone.
Everyone's going to be like, Andrea's so woke. And I'm be like, yes. And then I'm going to like, and then I'm going to get like an
that's
award.
All, that's all true. These conversations will go happen verbatim and she'll get an award.
You are loved. You are an equal. And guess what? You're going to get crapped on.
If I tweeted, no, really though, if I tweeted that, I would get like 50 replies from like random dudes being like, oh my God, yeah, call him out.
Yeah, there's probably awesome. 18 ways you
Hero.
Can paint me as a bad person.
Hero.
During my Twitter sabbatical, I've literally been crapped on, not on Twitter, but by a bird twice.
that's
you can include that in the things I didn't expect to hear tonight.
I don't think I've ever been crapped on by a bird. I don't think I've ever been crapped on by a bird ever.
Although that it was a bird, and Twitter's logo is a bird, so it was just Twitter trying to get back at you.
That's what Andrew
just
said.
Oh, you did?
I just said it was the Twitter bird, and no one appreciated it.
Well,
I hate
now
it
I appreciate it.
I do now.
No one appreciates my jokes.
Indiana jokes.
Indiana jokes. Did you hear that noise? That was me throwing my phone because I am mad.
Did I miss an inside joke somewhere?
Okay, so no. Mark, I'm going to ask you some questions about the movie.
All right, go for it.
So I'm going to like go over, I guess, some of the more controversial things to see what you thought about it. One is Leia.
Well, hold on. Let's just start with Brian Bailey's question from last time that I didn't get to answer.
Yeah.
And even Jared talked to me about it briefly. I don't think I did enough justice because I hate typing with my fingers, but... Anyways, so AT-ATs, the AT-M6s, was I disappointed? At the time, no, not at all. I didn't even think twice about it. I suppose in hindsight, I would have liked to see more of that, but I think the idea is just generally that it's a lost cause. These are horribly old, I don't even know what those kind of ships were, that are fighting against, you know, superior power. And it's not supposed to be any sort of fight. It's just supposed to be an annihilation for the most part. So, you know, I think it served its purpose.
To interject, I think they're just supposed to be mining vessels. I don't think they were supposed to be.
I don't know what you even do with them, to be honest.
I think they might have been leftover things from a mining facility. Maybe not, but just the stabilizing skiffs mean they're land vessels, I think. Or at least, right. You know. I don't know what the hell they'd be otherwise. But go on.
ultimately, it was cool. I like the designs. I liked everything about it. But I don't think the purpose was to have, you know, obviously the Battle of Crait was, you know, not designed to be, not designed for these ships to do any sort of thing other than to get shot, especially up against, you know, the ATM-6s and the AT-ATs and everything. So yeah. I didn't really have a problem with it. They
couldn't withstand a hard heel from Poe, you know, like you kick through the bottom of it, of the cockpit. How's it going to handle the full brunt of one of those ATM-6s?
And as cool as they looked, they're still no AT-AT. I don't care. You know, this whole movie was just like an AT-AT smorgasbord, really. Just in the whole, I don't know what that place was, but I guess it's in the Supremacy. Just the whole AT-AT factory with scout walkers and AT-ATs, and they're putting them like in the AT-AT closet because they're all on hooks and just hanging. It's like, this place is great.
Do you like BB-8 a lot more after his whole rescue?
Oh God, yeah. and so yeah, it was nice to see all these different things that I loved so much just all over the place.
I have an adversarial relationship with BB-8. It's like I feel like I'm being tricked. This movie I like him more, but everything he did that made me like him more, I'm like, I see you, Star Wars. Like, you just want me to forget that you're not using R2-D2 anymore.
yeah.
Leave BB-8 alone. It's not
I like him. But
it's
I like
not
R2
his
too.
Fault.
I like R2
it's
as well.
It's not his fault that he's younger.
I want more aliens and more R2.
Here's the thing.
Stop blaming millennials.
Put your avocado toast and be quiet a second. Let the grown-up speak. I think
what?
We've affected... God, why is the delayed reaction?
What did you say?
Keep going, Mark.
What? I think effectively we've seen R2-D2 sort of go on to Chewbacca and to Rey. That is his new spot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. BB-8. Especially with Luke gone now. That's his deal, yeah.
Yeah, they quote still didn't they show they didn't show a transfer of power, or not transfer of power, but a transfer of, like, friendship of, you know, buddy, pal, whatever. But it's definitely, you know, she had nothing to do with BB-8 in this movie. BB-8's definitely, you know, he's there to help whoever needs help.
Yeah, no, he's their helper, dude. And
he's Poe's.
He's Poe's dog. But Andrea's, you know, I called it before, like, more so than R2, he acts like a dog, for sure. Like, it's like, you know what I mean?
I kind of don't agree with my own opinion after this movie.
Well, the way that he scratched his belly, like... When Poe and him are reunited, it's either that or like they're way more intimate than any other droid we've seen. Like, you know what I mean? We've never seen it. Nobody's tickled under C-3PO's chin.
Wait a second. You're going to act like you wouldn't like if Oscar Isaac scratched your belly?
Hey, who said anything about that? I'm just saying I wouldn't like lay down on my back and kick my leg involuntarily on the floor.
BB-8 didn't do that. He was just like, hey.
BB-8 was bobbing back and forth.
I think BB-8 made his own decisions in this movie.
BB-8 was rad, but I just felt like the way he helped everybody. You know, he helped DJ, he helped you know, Finn and Rose.
He's
like,
he's an independent robot.
He's a keeper.
But he kind of does whatever Poe says at the same time.
Yeah, but I feel like he's more.
I feel like he's more like last
autonomous
in a lot of ways. Like,
I retract my opinion that he is a dog. I don't agree with myself.
I feel like you need to see Lassie to understand where I'm coming from, because Lassie could do all the things you're talking about.
Who Lassie is?
Lassie did everything.
Did you watch Lassie though? Like, Lassie did all the things you're talking about. Lassie would go help a wayward, you know, farmhand on his way to go get help.
I don't need to watch Lassie. BB isn't a dog.
I'm just saying, in fiction, hero dogs do all the stuff that he does, except for shoot coins. But and I feel like he just has that vibe. Like, you can definitely retract your opinion, but I felt like that vibe was more evident in this movie than in Force Awakens.
Well,
Does anyone know if there's a deleted scene with R2? Because there's an action figure that has him with Rocket.
There's definitely an action figure with his rockets. People were excited from, about that.
Right, from the movie, right?
Well, I mean, I think it had the packaging. I mean, granted, it had the packaging that indicated it would be, but like they released like a Boba Fett last year, Rogue One packaging.
I just saw an Obi-Wan Kenobi the other day. So,
but they usually not say the movie; they just say Star Wars, even if they have the same packaging. Boba Fett that came out last year had a Death Trooper with a beach on behind the Star Wars logo in the top corner. It still just said Star Wars. It didn't say Rogue One, I think.
Yes.
Well, they're not just outright liars. They're confusing, but they're not liars.
But no, Mark, we can kind of have like a rapid round thing where I just bring up like parts of the movie and you let me know what you thought, okay?
Go, we'll do it fast, go.
It's like Leia flying back through space.
It was awesome. And then once somebody put Leia to that Shooting Stars music, it's amazing.
All right. And then
anybody knows what I'm talking about, but for some reason I'm really into that stupid meme. They don't have to give me a half-ass laugh, Tim, but go on.
I haven't
rapid
seen
round,
that.
Go.
Is that better?
I'm thinking about that meme though now. I have to look it up.
I could just type in real quick, Jared, while I'm doing the wraparound. Type in Leia Shooting Stars. Go.
Okay, so Mark, Rey and Kylo fighting against the Praetorian guards.
Oh, it was awesome.
And
I loved it.
Similarly.
I love the whole reversal of the dichotomy of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
I loved, you know, that she, you know, she thinks she's Luke Skywalker. She thinks she knows what she's doing. You know, and this is the thing that you know, I keep trying to explain to my friends is that, you know, this whole movie, and I think everybody understands this as well because it's all over the internet, but the whole movie is about failure. Everybody thinks that they know what they're doing, but nobody knows a damn thing. She turns herself over with the handcuffs, you know, and she gets handcuffed. She goes up in an elevator, just like Return of the Jedi. And Kylo, she's ready for Kylo to turn in the throne room, you know, like you know, Luke does with Vader. But in the end, he doesn't turn. And so the one thing, her whole major point in the whole movie is to get Kylo to turn. It doesn't happen. And It is worth it all to see that battle, though. That battle was great.
Yeah, I think you mentioned something before, like online or somewhere, that you said like everybody in the movie failed except for one person, right?
Yeah, everybody failed at what they set out to do. I mean, granted, technically, BB-8 didn't fail, but whatever. But
nice try.
BB never fails.
Poe fails. Poe fails. Finn fails, Rose fails, Leia fails, Snoke fails, Kylo fails, Rey fails. Everybody fails, except Luke's whole job is to protect his friends and his family and his sister. That is his job. And the one thing that he does is he protects them and helps them escape. So he's the only person who succeeds, you know, in a movie all about failure. I mean, Yoda even talks about failure. So,
and in his role that Yoda talks about as a mentor, you know, as someone who leads by the examples of their own failures and whatnot, and something that the other person grows beyond, you know, in that sense, he also succeeded in his role of preserving the Jedi Order, because he preserved it by keeping Rey going no matter what. Even though he didn't intend, even though it was like all a side effect or whatever, the way his actions paid out, she kept it going and she stole those books. So across the board, Luke still failed, but by the end, he redeemed himself and undid that failure in a weird sense. He still failed Kylo and Leia and Han to, you know, emotionally to himself, but his overall mission of protecting his family and protecting the legacy of the Jedi Order, he was successful at. So, like, that is cool. And I think, in another sense, Leia also succeeded at keeping the Resistance going and Hope alive.
No, but I don't think she did. I think it was Luke that did it.
Well, I think that he's, like, the final, you know, piece of the puzzle. He's the one who enabled them to do it. But in another way, you know, all his work would have been for nothing without Rey being on the other side. Like there is something to be said that it was a little bit of a joint effort on, I think, on their part. But
know.
I mean, yeah, but I feel like I kind of see what Mark's saying because of how at the end.
Overall, I definitely.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like at the end, Leia even said, like, well, like, that's it. We had a good run, basically. And then Luke shows up and then saves the day.
Leia was Luke is what made the real difference. He's the overall example of it. I think there's just, you know, definitely not to nitpick it, just thinking like there's people who had to lesser degrees, had some levels of success, but he is the only one who ultimately actually did, you know, complete any of those goals that he had, you know.
Those two
huge, massively huge goals.
Speaking of a couple of things that we mentioned in there, Mark, it's like Yoda, how that was handled. What did you think?
I liked it. I like crazy Yoda.
Okay. Yoda.
I enjoy Richard Sweater Yoda. He's crazy. Yeah.
Do you guys think that he was messing with Luke? Do you think he knew that Leia Ray had taken the books?
He was definitely messing with them. It's his favorite hobby.
I just love it because it's another the first movie where a different point of view has any meaning because it actually is about everybody having different points of view and not just a BS excuse. Yoda kind of still does like the lying thing, which I love that it just reinforces how often he and Obi-Wan do that, because he's like, she has everything she needs. I'm hilarious. She has the books, dude. Like, it's a joke that's only funny to him. but it's so funny to him.
He laughs at his own jokes.
Oh, because he's the ultimate like crazy grandpa. it's fantastic.
And so, Mark, the Snoke dying without much of his backstory. What about that?
Don't care.
He's just like the old Emperor.
I mean, like, yeah, so, I know that's what we discussed last time.
I will be absolutely fine, and I'll be interested to know what his backstory is. I think, you know, it was a great shock. When it happened, and, you know, reading some of Rian Johnson's comments afterwards and how, you know, really, you're not interested in Snoke so much as you're interested in Kylo, you know, and Kylo can't progress if Snoke's always there. It's still sort of just this he's under, you know, Snoke's heel. So I think it's great that Snoke went out. I think it's great that Snoke went out by Kylo, and, you know, I'm definitely interested in finding out, you know, more about him at a later date, but he's really not what anybody cared about.
Yeah.
He's a great, like, ooh, who's Snoke? Well, he's not some angel from some planet, you know, he's definitely not that. Or if he is, who gives a crap? He's not important to the story.
Yeah, the confidence that people had that theory.
Yeah. I mean, he might be, but at this point, so what?
And
you know, at this point, it's like identifying that Yoda is the same species, you know, as what's his face, Lennox or whatever, the one species that looks a little like him. It's not that big of a deal, you know. It's like, yeah, Yoda's still Yoda. It doesn't change anything.
And I feel like Mark kind of touched on this with Kylo not being able to be under Snoke's heel anymore. One of the things that I loved about this movie is the way it sets up all of these characters so that now they can grow to wherever they want to grow, and the story can go forward whatever direction it wants to go, and, you know, it's not tied to anything.
Well, you know, especially I'm curious to where they go with it or if they even bother, but it even makes, I know a lot of people hate Hux. I absolutely love Hux, but it even makes Hux a more interesting character. Because Hux before just wanted to please Daddy.
Right.
You know, Snoke loves me. And when he walks in and sees Kylo on the ground and Snoke dead, right, and you see him, like, reaching for his blaster, like, oh, yeah. now he has to kiss the butt of the guy he hates. It makes it more interesting that you know, he's basically second in command to a petulant child.
Right.
And it's awesome in that way, you know.
What I don't like is that Kylo keeps being called a child and a boy and a kid when he's like 30.
Yeah, but the thing is that when someone throws a tantrum,
he definitely is emotionally like 14. But I'm like, can we stop acting like he's this like young kid who doesn't really know what he's doing? He knows.
No.
That's not directed to you. That's like in the movie they do that.
No, I get what you're saying. For me, it's not a qualification that he doesn't know what he's doing. It's more of an explanation that he's acting like a child. He's spoiled. He doesn't get his way, and he smashes his helmet or he slices, up consoles because he's angry. You know, he doesn't have control of his emotions. He doesn't, at times he definitely doesn't know right from wrong. He just lashes out like a child throwing himself on the ground. And so
I think you're totally insult to me. You're totally right. But I also feel like there is that's only in the context of like when they're talking about it with the First Order with like Snoke and Hux. But I feel like when Luke is talking about it in the retrospect, in the flashback stuff, when he's doing his two different versions to Rey, it's like he's talking about, a boy, but he failed. It's like, that's a 25-year-old, dude. Like, it's like, yeah, you right. failed him, but he wasn't a boy anymore. But I feel like even that, though, I feel like it's a combination of, like, Luke's perspective, because it's his nephew that he'd taken in when he was, like, 10 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, to him, he's always going to be a boy. But at the same time, it's also, like, I just keep getting the feeling that before they settle on everything, that was supposed to have taken place earlier, that it was supposed to have taken place around the time, Rey's flashback, that her whole backstory has been revised, and that the whole timeline has been that maybe the turning happened earlier for Kylo originally. And I just can't help shake that feeling. It doesn't bug me because I know that there's changes in all sorts of stuff. Like, it doesn't matter, but I just get that vibe that, like, constantly referring to Kylo in that era as a boy. It's like, no, dude, he could rent a car in every state. He's 25.
if he ever visits the U.S.,
obviously that's when right. obviously when Luke goes after Kylo, he's a certain age, but that's not, it's not like he said, wait, he's got some dark side in him, I need to cut his head off. This is something that's been going on for a while. They've been sensing it, obviously. Leia's worried about it enough that she sends him away. Luke's trying to change, and he's like, it's just not happening.
A lot of people gloss over that, but that's really important. That, like, the way Leia and Han talk about it, it's like that's the whole reason that he went to Luke to begin with and joined the other dozen people. It's not because Luke was like, I have to train him, he's so powerful. It's because, like, he was dark and he had that power.
It could be a 10-year, sort of process from when people start getting worried to where.
No, absolutely. Luke, that's totally
Luke
fair.
Goes in late at night, like pedo Luke, and decides to do something.
I like the three different looks on Luke's face and lightings and stuff. It's like scared out of his mind, reasonably scared, like the real one, like no, and then the evil one where it's just like, oh, he's going to cut you into pieces. He's going to cut you into pieces. Like,
listen, I cannot wait for the evil one to be a GIF, because that was freaking hilarious. Like, he's like, his eye is like straight up twitching.
Serial killer Luke. It's like, hey, where all the other Jedi are? I ate them, and I'm going to blame it on you. It's going to be awesome.
Wow. Okay, Mark, the humor in it. What did you think?
I had no problem with it. There's humor in all sorts of Star Wars films. It's really that simple.
I agree.
You're having great opinions so far.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. Let me jump in and say Rey's parentage. Don't care. It makes perfect sense in the story.
And I went on last week and I explained, because Rian Johnson explained why he came to that decision, and I explained that again last week, and it just makes sense. Like, looking at the franchise as a whole, it just makes sense.
It's just one of those things to where I'm really getting annoyed at this, Skywalker thing. But again, up until Luke's dad, the Skywalkers were nobodies.
Right.
Yeah, the first feat is Shmi making a baby out of nothing. Before that, she's a slave. Like, she's not the secret queen of the universe. Like, that was never revealed. It's like, oh, she's freaking Arthur Pendragon's daughter, right? Like, no, this isn't King Arthur. Like, back up, dudes.
It's not the secret king of England. It's the Force deciding, That dude. I'm gonna give her a baby, and he's gonna be what he is. And in this instance, it's like, okay, well, the force is like, this girl, I'm gonna jumpstart her force abilities and make her really powerful.
They even say they explain it in the movie.
I mean, I get that people are upset by it and go, well, I don't really like that answer. Go, okay, but it's the answer. Is that she's been, you know, the force basically said, okay, well, you know, it's really no different than being bitten by a radioactive spider. In
that's true.
If you can, I mean, if you can buy Spider-Man, that suddenly he because some spider bites him, he's Spider-Man. Well, if you're watching a movie and you believe the force, well, then why can't the force suddenly decide that this girl has a lot of power and we're giving it to her?
I don't know. Spider-Man isn't Tony Stark's son. I don't know if I believe that.
It's also like the original way people saw A New Hope before the reveal in Empire, before they wrote that and changed it, where Luke is just a dude who has the Force, just like Obi-Wan, just like his dad, just like Darth Vader, just like hundreds, maybe thousands of other Jedi Knights that he knows existed, and that he's presented that the Force is available to everyone the way it's presented originally to him. You know, it's very much like this could happen to anyone. Your dad was a soldier and he had a superpower that you have. Like, that is basically the idea, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, Andrea, did she leave?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, that was Mark.
No. I threw her. I threw her down a shaft.
Looks like we lost her. But
yeah, she'll come back in the Clone Wars, and she'll be half cut. She'll be cut in half.
And half she'll have spider legs and no, there you are.
Hey, Mala, sorry, Andrea. My internet went out.
We're glad to have you back.
But yeah. How's the snow? You guys still got snow?
Today it's a little better because it warmed up a little bit, so the roads were able to melt, but like the past like 3 days were crappy because it was so cold.
So what do you do?
Well, you just drive slower and you just take your time with turns and hope you don't slide, basically.
Damn, and really?
No one else is dumb. Yeah. Yeah, because when it's that, like, The other day,
you go to work and deal with the people who are dumb.
basically, but
sounds miserable.
When it's that cold, they plow the roads and they put salt on it like they normally do. But it's so cold that the salt doesn't react like it should, so it doesn't really do anything. And since it's so cold, the car's friction going over the ice isn't melting it at all. It's just like creating a thicker sheet of ice on the road.
What's the temperature outside right now?
Yeah.
What's the temperature outside?
right now. Sorry, I threw my phone earlier, so I don't know.
Right. I remember that.
You made me mad, Mark. Wait, I'm looking.
It snowed the first two days I was in Portland, so that was really
nice. It's 30 degrees right now, so it's not bad.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so all the snow melted off the roads today, so they're fine now. But it's supposed to warm up, and then it's going to get cold again. Like, it goes from... It's supposed to be 60 degrees on Thursday, and then 15 degrees on Sunday. So all that snow is going to melt and then probably create a layer of ice. So that's that. So yeah, that's my weather forecast update for the day.
It's raining here. Is it raining over there, Mike? In your part?
Not right now. It's a little quiet right now.
All right. So what I'm going to do... is I'm going to ask Mark if he has anything else he wanted to point out as far as thoughts about the movie.
Yeah, I'm, shoot. Do I really want to say this?
Okay.
yeah, I'm not that impressed with John Williams scoring it overall. Ooh. Ooh, look, a mint. Someone left mints in this room.
So yeah, now that you've said that, anything else?
He honestly does great from the Rose's theme's good. The concert piece is good. Everything from the spark on is fantastic. But the rest of the stuff, no. Mm-hmm. Hold on, what was that? Battery low. All right. I don't like the way that everyone, you know, one of the hot topics was how this was, how do I describe it, Tim? Tim, help me out here.
So I don't know if this is what you were going to say, but I have noticed that overall the reaction to this one seemed to be that it was way better than the last time with Force Awakens.
What?
And that's something that I really do disagree. Like, I liked this one, but I think the Force Awakens score got way too much crap. It's really good.
So here's the thing, and I don't know if this was talked about much. It definitely was within the circles that I travel in or Tim travels in. But the way Rian Johnson did it is Rian Johnson edited the movie, okay, and then temp scored it with Star Wars film, Star Wars music.
Right.
And then turned it over to John Williams. Apparently, according to his own words, never had a meeting with John Williams whatsoever. Just kind of said through intermediaries, this is the kind of music that I want in these scenes. Okay. Well, John Williams is fantastic. You tell him what to do, he's going to do it. But also, if you let John Williams just run wild, you're going to get amazing work. So I think ultimately that this is a fine score. There's nothing wrong with it. And some of the stuff is absolutely amazing. But that's why you get some of the things like the TIE Fighter attack music back. Because it was probably temped by Rian Johnson in the Battle of Crait music. I mean, we haven't seen, you haven't heard that music since A New Hope. And so the idea of it bringing back just because John Williams wanted to do it doesn't make any sense to me. It seems more to fit in with the idea that that John Williams said, okay, well, that's what you want. I'll put it in there.
Like, what's this, like a kinder move more?
I just think that it's not the way John Williams generally works. You know, you sit down and you sit down with him, you discuss, this is the tone of the score, or this is the tone of this scene, and this is what I want to convey. And then John Williams kind of writes some stuff on the piano as you listen to it and decide whether that's something you want to go with or not go with. And then he goes and he writes a score. This feels like the John Williams version of everything everybody complains about in modern scores. It just happens to be good because John Williams did it.
I do see what you're saying. I really, really like the score myself, but I see what you're saying. And another thing too, I know he likes to do with his process is sit down, watch a rough cut of the movie, I think without a temp score, and he just kind of reacts to what he sees. So if he's surprised, he's like, oh, that was surprising. So he'll write down, at this time, I want to have a music that implicates surprise. And he just kind of tries to capture his reactions and transform it into music. So if he didn't really do that this time, it sounds like, at least not that same way, it's a different writing process for him.
Right. I think it's just, it's not something that he's used to. Did the score turn out fine? Yeah, absolutely. But I'm not humming. I'm not humming anything this time around. Are you?
Well, nothing new.
Jedi Steps is the thing that sticks in my head still the most.
Like again, right. I really enjoyed it.
Jedi
but the
Steps,
one
Rey's theme, Kalos theme, the First Order mark, the March of the Resistance. You know,
the one thing is that there wasn't a whole ton of new stuff to work with. It was a lot of recreations of great things, and I thought it was a great job of recreating it. But as far as fresh original content, the only thing that comes to mind is the theme that's associated with Rose, and like that's it. So, like, you know, I don't want to complain, but although
it's okay to be critical.
I know, but I'm saying we will be getting a new theme from John Williams for a Star Wars character in a couple months.
Yes, we will.
Because in case nobody heard, Colin sent this.
You almost didn't hear.
I almost didn't hear, yeah.
On the internet for like a week.
But no, Colin sent it to us and let us know that because John Powell is doing the music for the Solo movie, which I'm very excited about because I think he's underrated. They did also announce that John Williams will be writing a theme for Han that will be used in the movie as well. So it took 30 years, but we are going to get a Han theme. So that is pretty awesome from John Williams.
I hope it's just the Han and the smuggler and the princess, or the Han Solo and the princess theme just deconstructed.
That would be really cool. Like, it could work out super well to do that.
Yeah, because it's almost really Han Solo's theme anyways.
It's kind of turned into that. Especially
Han Solo? I meant Han.
Oh, it's recorded. No.
Han Solo's.
We have proof.
We have sampled that and auto tune.
Edit that, Tim.
It'd be like a whole thing.
Oh, he should. And again, he better say Han in this whole movie.
No, if Lando doesn't call him Han the entire time in Chewbacca, it will be a failure to me. That's my only requirement.
Sure they will, though.
At this point, is my only requirement for the film. Like, and I'm trying to get my enthusiasm back. Like, I've heard Colin say, like, I think the last time we talked about it, he's like, I feel like I'm the only person who's still excited about this movie. You know, but like,
I just lost
my enthusiasm about it, like, because I was so excited because of the directors, because like. People talk about The Last Jedi being risky or not risky or whatever. And I just watched the newest episode of Last Man on Earth, and I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who might want to watch it. But like, that is the most risky show on television. It is insane. It's insane that it is a show. Like, there's entire episodes that are just sad, and there's episodes that are about completely random characters that they don't get back to for another half a season. They plant the seed that you end up finding out connects with stuff that happened before. Like, it's crazy ambitious. Like, that's all Lord and Miller, and they're very talented dudes. And there's something else that I just remembered they're involved in. Oh yeah, they're producers on the new Spider-Man thing from Sony, the only thing from Sony that I'm interested in, the new animated feature film. And one of them did their first solo writing effort in like over a decade is the writer on it. But the one about Miles Morales, where it's his original version of his story, where Spider-Man has been dead for a few years, and a kid who was bitten by another spider that was an attempt to duplicate it by Norman Osborn to duplicate Spider-Man's abilities. And his uncle had like stolen it, and because he was an industrial espionage thief guy, and the spider ended up biting this kid, and he ended up replacing Spider-Man, and it's like kind of origin story. And I like those guys so much, and what's his face from The Wire. so I'm trying to think of his character, but I'm
what are you spacing. Trying to say, Jared?
I'm spacey. I'm spacing. You know who I'm you talking are. About the guy who sings.
I don't know anymore.
No, the guy from The Wire.
You can't put The Wire and Miles Morales in the same sentence.
The guy who was going to be in Han Solo.
Michael K. Williams. He's no longer in it.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, Michael K. Williams. I was trying to think of his character name from The Wire. But no, like, there's so many elements that have left the Han Solo film that I was excited for. And so Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who were making the Miles Morales movie and who made Last Man on Earth and have made a lot of things I've really enjoyed in addition to some really silly stuff. Like, they were a huge selling point for me. And I like Han Solo, but I don't know. Like, unless this is mostly about Donald Glover as Lando, it's hard, too, because what I've seen from the guy who plays Han isn't super exciting.
You haven't seen anything, Jared.
No, not as him as Han, just him as an actor. It hasn't made me super excited. Like,
It was described by a friend that this is basically the early Marvel comics come to life. And if that is what it is, then I will be happy. Brightly colored, really just garish sort of.
If it means we get Jackson, I'll be super happy.
Look, but we may not get Jackson, or we may. But if it's like those early, you know, Carmen Infantino, you know, Marvel Comics Star Wars comics where Han Solo and Smuggler's World and all this different type of stuff to where it's just bright greens and reds and yellows and everything, then I'm fine with that. You know, I have zero expectations for this film. Other than if you don't have Boba Fett in it, you might as well just pack it in. But
Boba Fett was in this movie.
No, wait.
What? They were just called Captain Phasma.
No, we're talking about. You're on the Solo. So much. We're talking about Han Solo.
Well,
coming
I'm
up.
Talking about Last Jedi.
Boba Fett. Have you been listening last 5 minutes?
Yeah.
A little bit in and out.
I was listening. I just wanted to make a Captain Phasma joke.
You're wrong. She has been limited to just being a cool armor who. Well, she died twice. What's up with that?
Just like Boba Fett. Stupid death.
Boba Fett only died once, though, at least.
Anyways, so, yeah, I'm excited. And it sounds like we'll be seeing a trailer any day. So,
that'll be cool.
I'm ready. It's a matter of time
for people to be angry or not.
Hey, can I just say?
Sure.
Wait, so it's going to be before the Super Bowl that we get a trailer?
Man, do you think? February, right? Yeah. I think we get it soon.
I do not want anyone tweeting during football waiting for a Han Solo trailer saying, complaining about how they have to watch football to see a movie trailer.
Well, because they don't. They could go onto YouTube
right.
in half a second.
Right. I'm like, half a second, man. If I see any of that, I'm just going to, I don't know. You guys are going to have to come up with a reply to everyone who does that because it's so annoying.
There's three ways it goes down. It goes up before the commercial
right.
airs on television.
Like, you do
on
not
YouTube,
need to watch
YouTube,
sports.
On the Star Wars channel. Or it goes up almost simultaneously, virtually simultaneously, less than 1 second after. And the third option is that the world ends sometime before the Super Bowl. And that's it.
Like, also,
no, you can't see it. It's like, oh, crap. That was the only time they're ever going to show a commercial for Han Solo. You have to have TV. You have to watch the Super Bowl. And if you don't, you missed it. And that's it. It's word of mouth only. They're really doing something different this time with the promotion. Like, that's not happening.
And, like, leave everyone who likes to watch sports alone. No one cares that you don't want to watch sports. Like, I don't care. I don't care.
No, I don't care about sports.
Let everyone who wants.
All the time.
If I see sports ball on my timeline, I'm gonna freaking delete Twitter. But I'm not gonna see it because I have that word muted. So.
I'm just gonna tweet about sports ball all the time, just so that I know that
it's
somehow. I know you'll never see it. It's just
whatever
weird,
you want to talk smack about me, you could just like say that at the beginning. Sports ball spoiler. Andrew's being a freaking bee today.
I'll say sports ball, but then I'll say really nice things about you.
Aw, classic Jared.
Confused you.
Okay, so this
like the Lakers and thinks that the everything needs to be about sports.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's like it's, if someone was on there primarily for the Lakers, but also like Star Wars, like, man, I hate that all my Star Wars fans or friends like Star Wars.
I'm talking about Andrew.
What about the Lakers?
I don't know. Don't you suddenly like the Lakers?
I like the Lakers.
Yeah. Where you live?
I'm not disclosing that information.
They don't have a team in the snow that you can follow? Basketball team?
See, Wegmans is not in California.
Why can't I follow my
heart? Because you're not allowed to. It's the rules.
Okay.
I like a gold baseball team, so I'm going to like a yellow basketball team.
How do you feel, Mark, about keeping an allegiance after you move? Or after your family moves?
You have to.
You're okay with not moving your allegiance to where you live?
You shouldn't. Look, if everything goes as planned, and I'm up in Idaho in the middle of the summer, I'm not switching to Seattle Mariners as my team.
Okay, because I'm saying I grew up, I used to have this ideological conversation with my dad, because like one of the only teams I have any loyalty to is the Cardinals, because I grew up and it was like the one thing in sports that my dad cared about, and he had just like tributes to the baseball awesome. Baseball Cardinals, because he grew up outside of St. Louis and in Missouri mind. and he was well, he also liked the Arizona Cardinals
there
because he lived in Phoenix for years. But
yeah, but I buy that though, because that's your bonding, that's the way of bonding with your father.
It's interesting because he was so excited to have baseball and get like, and he went in on it with like a bunch of guys from work where he had season tickets for the Diamondbacks from their first season. And because he got in so early, he was able to have it relatively affordable, like where it wasn't like prohibitively expensive to have pretty good seats. So he had like every like, you know, month he had like two games, you know, for the most part. And then he ended up getting it to where he split it with like two guys. And so he had tons of home games, and he loved Diamondbacks then, and they became his favorite team. And I was always like, how could you betray, you know, the team you grew up on? That he literally was like, we were born in championship years. Like, you and I were both born in years that the Cardinals won the World Series. That's crazy. Isn't that awesome? And it's like I heard that my whole life, and all of a sudden it's like, there's a new team. So
there's a lot of stuff like that. Like I had a buddy who was born here, but he's Korean American. And when we had World Cup soccer, he was for Korea versus the United States. I'm like, I don't understand.
No, it always feels weird to me. Like when it becomes about where you are, where you're from, you know what I mean? Like, it's interesting.
Right. You never lived in Korea. You're born in America. You know, America is a melting pot. There's all sorts of people on that team. So why wouldn't you go for the team of the country you live in, you know, or in this situation? Just because I'm going to another state, you know, my heart is with the team that I grew up with. And so it's just one of those things that it doesn't make sense to switch allegiances, or, you know, the team you grow up with or your local team always makes more sense, especially if you get into something. Not being in snow covered peaks and rooting for a team named after lakes that now reside in the City of Angels.
Well, it's interesting because it's something that I even thought about with like fandoms. Like, it's something that I think it's sort of not the same, but there's something definitely similar to being a sports, a fan of a specific franchise or a team. It's because when I was at Disneyland with a bunch of our friends over a year ago, it was right around my birthday the year before, at the end of 2016, and we were at like Disneyland. It was right after Force Friday. I think it was the next day or the Sunday after. And so there was tons of stuff there at all the stores, tons of Rogue One merchandise. And there was some kid there who's complaining, some teenager who was there with two girls, and they were wanting to look at the Star Wars stuff. And he was complaining, like, they haven't even seen the movie yet. How can people be so excited about it? And I'm just like, you like a team no matter who's on it, no matter who runs it.
Right.
Like, because it's that team. It's the same thing. Like, I'm interested in Star Wars. I'm not necessarily going to like it. Just like you're not necessarily going to be happy with every team every year, every lineup, you know, or every coach.
That'd be the worst season ever.
Right. But at the same time, you're still going to give them a shot because you're into it. And like, and nobody has a right to be like, you're an ass because you're into it. Just like nobody should be like, how can you dare like Spider-Man if you haven't even seen the movie yet? It's like, I don't necessarily like that movie. There's a lot of Batman movies I don't love. But overall, I still like it, you know? Like,
hey.
I still like the character.
Do you guess who's probably good at sports now?
Who's probably good at sports?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Ewan McGregor, because he's getting all buff.
He's got a beard, so that must be that my dreams are coming true.
But like a little bit of respect, that was good.
We're way behind. Like either they're getting smart and not announcing things until everything's ready, or we're way behind.
So,
shouldn't we know about the next standalone film by now?
I feel like they're just not going to tell us any of that stuff until maybe after 9. Like they're just like stretching it out or something.
Well, not only that, but there are three reasons. Like, they're, you know, Hollywood Reporter was saying that Stephen Daldry might be directing it, but there are three reasons why I think they're going to hold back on announcing anything. Reason number
one. They
learned
their lesson finally.
Well, like lesson number one, or reason number one, Colin Trevorrow. Number two, Josh Trank. Number three, Lord and Miller.
Yeah.
So, for good reasons.
Trevorrow should be second after Trank.
Well, if we're going to get nitpicky, but you know.
I'm just messing with you.
So yeah, I feel like, you know, we've got two movies coming out. We don't even have a trailer for one that's coming out in a couple months. I'm not so concerned right now about them announcing the Kenobi movie, if it's going to be happening, which it probably seems like it will be. So it'll happen. We'll get there eventually. I just think that, it's cool to see him with that hairstyle and the beard and all that. Yeah, it's really neat. I wouldn't jump to conclusions already.
And then from what I heard, are they burning off like super fast the last episodes of Rebels? Like, I swear that
they announced I don't know.
I guess I don't even know if it was real or not, but Florian, a German Jedi, had said that there's been a date announced in his country, and they're literally like every day. And I don't know if he was joking or not, but it's like, man, it's going to burn them off.
For real.
And usually Europe has been getting them later than us.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, yeah. Well, I mean, they didn't do them every day, but they did do them until the last episode of the season. It was literally two a pop. So it was 5 weeks, 9 episodes. So, yeah.
I'm ready for it to be over.
It seems like they are too.
Yeah. Yeah. And who was it today that Corey suggested like this great idea for another cartoon series that I thought would be fantastic? Luke and Young Ben.
I think that could work, but I would think they would save it for something different. Maybe, but I could see it being great.
Yeah, it'd be like
Dennis. Yeah, but if they're doing an Obi-Wan movie,
Luke and Young Ben.
Young Ben.
Oh, Ben, I'm sorry. Ben Solo. I totally took that as like Ben Kenobi.
I got you. Time traveling Luke and Young Ben.
No, but I do feel like that could make for. I mean, that could make for a great series as far as character stuff. I just think you'd have to handle it carefully. You'd have to have the right people making it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like not falling. Yeah,
I was kind of dancing around it, but
the beauty of it is that we already know what's going to happen to these people, so it's not like anything crazy. You know, there's already an end point to this, so you can only stay within certain parameters.
Introduce a really weird Luke stand-in that, like, I never really bothered me, even though I noticed the parallels until you pointed out last season with him being an awesome X-wing pilot, and immediately. It's just like, come on, man. Like, does he have to just do everything Luke does? Like, right. At least he wouldn't need that if he made a series starring Luke Skywalker. But it would also just be interesting. Like, I don't know that they'd want to tackle that much stuff in a series. It's definitely possible they could, you know, take a more direct approach like the Clone Wars and do stuff that's more important. But now with everything being connected and them trying to have everything actually have weight and be part of all the same saga, I wonder if they'd want it to be animated, because, I mean, that wouldn't just be him and Ben, you know, the era that is. You'd have to introduce the dozen other Jedi, and that would be the format you introduce those characters in. And right now, their endpoint is a mystery because a handful of them went with him. You know, what became of them?
Are we finally going to see the Knights of Ren?
That's what I wondered. And Jason says that he thinks they can't be the Knights of Ren because in the picture there's six of them total. One of them standing behind Kylo almost. So there's six of them, and that would be half of the dozen, which he felt like was more than a handful. And it's like, yeah, no, that does sound. You just say half if half of them went with him. But at the same time, it also could be a rough estimation, you know. Get a bunch of burning corpses of kids he taught around him. Like,
well, are we going to get them, you know, actually doing battle against maybe her new army? I don't know.
I hope we see them ever, because right now they're a big mystery. Like even if it's just a reference, you know.
I think Abrams will bring it back. Like you know, I introduced this thing. I might as well have him at least die.
I would hope so. Like,
I would rather that than just have some weird offhanded reference in a book.
Yeah, me too.
We're like, Maz Kanata's pirate armies blew him up. Maz Kanata blew up the Knights of Ren. We're never going to find out anything about him. That's my worst case scenario.
She gets around, that Maz Kanata.
She really does. She likes Wookiees. She's the reason why that guy left Jennifer Aniston, I guess.
Yes.
She can't get to break that Jennifer Aniston.
She's a player.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to end the episode. not because of anything that you said, but just because it's time. So next week...
We're pro Jennifer Aniston.
No, but next week, just for the record, is going to be 2 years since we started this podcast. So just wanted to mention that.
That's awesome.
And otherwise, that's all I had to say. So we're going to go now. But, Mark, I'm really happy that we were able to get you on and that, you were able to figure it out. You're the one who really figured it out.
Sorry for your late birds.
No, but that you're able to come on. We could talk about the movie a little bit.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you guys all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm a man without a country. I've got Andrea. I see her every once in a while. Tweeting, and I don't see Tim or Jared at all.
I'll be back. I needed a break, man.
I'm actually making a conscious effort, Jared, like today, yesterday, to try to be getting on more frequently, so we'll see.
I'm telling you, Jared, now is not the time to get back on.
So stay on my break for a little while, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Give it to next week.
If Han Solo pops up, the trailer within the next week, jump online. And if people are just ruining it, jump back off.
Oh, I mean, people will be negative. But, like that's where I'm going to be able to get excited again. I wasn't trying to be too down on it. I just have lost enthusiasm. I'm not like, saying I don't want people to see it or whatever. I'm against it. I'm just not as excited as I wished I were.
Well, you know, there's not a lot of stuff out there yet for you to get excited about.
Well, I like Ron Howard.
Jared.
In general.
Jared. If you want to know how quickly Twitter has devolved, okay? Black Panther's coming out.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that one. That looks great.
Right. What would be one of the greatest things in the world is that this guy is raising money so a lot of underprivileged kids can see a movie with characters representing themselves, right?
That sounds awesome.
Sounds awesome, except for the people who are using racist terms to talk about this guy and these kids. Racist terms that I have to Google because I'm like, that doesn't sound right, that word.
Really? Yeah. So people are turning Black Panther coming out into a bad thing like that, like...
Yeah. So Jared, stay off the internet.
What you're saying is I was the linchpin that was holding Twitter together. it's only gotten worse since I left.
Yes. Yeah. Stay away. Run.
Oh man. Maybe.
No. Stay away.
On that optimistic note.
Any picture of you know, here's what makes it all the stuff last night with the Golden Globes great, but every time I see Meryl Streep in that picture, I just want to kick her in the face.
What is it with her? I've missed all the social media, so I didn't watch.
Come
the
on,
Golden
she
Globe.
Knew. You can't act like
you're. This is where we end the podcast.
All right, let's end it. We'll stop recording, and Mark can tell me.
Am I allowed to end it yet? Because I tried like 5 minutes ago. But
bye, everybody.
Bye.